Why?
Community benefit agreement, is that a new concept?
It's something that they're doing in other places that they haven't necessarily, they're starting to do them here for, specifically for data centers. And I think that they've been talking about them in several of the communities, but I did wonder about whether or not they were technically something we're allowed under the MPC to do and require.
My understanding from working in other municipalities is that it's legally questionable as to whether or not municipalities can require a community benefit agreement.
There's no authority for them in the MPC.
Right.
There is no authority.
So can we make suggestions for construction agreement?
For the development agreement?
We can make suggestions, as I did once in Lehigh Township, where we needed a UTV. The fire company needed a UTV. They would not be able to access the site by the road that was proposed because of the narrowness of it without that fully equipped UTV. And the applicant agreed to buy one in the developer's agreement. At $80,000.
I like the concept, but they're not letting them do it.
Well, people are doing it.
They can agree to it.
Literally, the Center for Rural Pennsylvania and the Fed is putting out programs telling people to do it, and to ask for it, and giving specific examples of what it should include, and including things like job training for local people to get the actual jobs that are going to be put out by these things, to make sure that you're not just bringing in people from the outside to get the jobs, and that there are local jobs, and things like, you know, if there's a road upgrade that needs to be done or fire department equipment that needs to be purchased, that it's covered. But then I didn't hear them go into the details of where it would be legal or not legal. They did talk explicitly about, one of the panelists specifically said that he felt in Pennsylvania, particularly thus far, the opportunities for communities to benefit from these were being squandered. That's the word that he used, squandered, by things like tax benefit programs, like LRTA programs, KOZ programs, and other discounts, if you will, that townships were giving away to these developers rather than holding them to actually paying what's required. And the taxation of these in Pennsylvania for municipalities is largely just going to be the same kind of real estate tax benefit that you would see from an office.
Yep.
Any office building.
Agreed, 100%.
That's really all that the municipality is going to benefit. So if it's going to cost you more to have in your community than an office building would have by virtue of emergency response, for example, if they're, you know, running battery backups or they're doing, you know, the things like, one of the other notes that I had here was the emergency testing. And I saw that in a subsequent section, we did have limitations for it. But in this ordinance, we're giving them construction hours on the weekend and on holidays, which we didn't do for EconoPac and we didn't do for AutoZone. So I was kind of surprised that we were writing that into the ordinance, giving the data centers that benefit, even if they have proximity to sensitive receptors. And perhaps we should look at that not being a thing if they are next door to a nursing home or a church or a residence. We don't give any additional buffers, really, when they're next door to a residence or, you know, things of that nature. That's something else that we might want to do. Or look at the district that we've identified. We've picked properties, if you will, by virtue of having an overlay district, but some of those properties are existing residential properties. So do we want to pull those residential properties out of the overlay zone? Or do we want to give an additional buffer if your neighboring, you know, receiving property is a residence, especially when we're going to let them have noise and vibration that it goes past the property line. I get that. I did look up what the amount was, and it said that it was similar to a stream, the noise that a stream would make. But I'm not sure that most residents will feel that way when it's proposed for their neighborhood.
Well, the thought of this community benefit agreement type of thing. If I'm as an applicant for this, this is a question for Tony. If I'm an applicant for this and there's that kind of a community benefit agreement suggested in the ordinance, and I don't call you out on that at the time of the application, am I obliged to that?
Yes, in fact, you are.
Then why not put it in the ordinance?
In fact, it actually comes up a lot of times during the conditional use hearing. And recently, we had a conditional use hearing in our township where there were some improvements being made to the township recreational fields. And prior to their hearing being started, they heard about these improvements. And they said, well, we understand it's going to be $80,000 for the playground equipment and stuff like that. You know, we'd be willing to donate that money. And we'll put it in a donation agreement as part of the developer's agreement that we'll give you $80,000 for the park fund. So, they're motivated,
is my understanding,
too. They're motivated to do that. I just had a small conditional use offer the police department $2,000 before the hearing. No.
No.
if you want to do something after the conditional use hearing, yeah, that's fine, but not before.
Being it's not in the MPC, can you make an ordinance like that? Or are they going to challenge it?
I think then it would be challenged.
Okay.
Well, I think that's why I'm asking the question I'm asking. Mm-hmm. If they don't challenge it in the beginning, then they're done.
We have in our ordinance that the supervisors have the discretion to increase the amount of the land they're permitted to use from 25% up to 65%, but we don't in any case anywhere in the ordinance or in this ordinance identify under what circumstances the supervisors should or should not be willing to make that increase. It's always been just sort of automatically done, and it was
that has a lot to do with stormwater runoff and
how much can you get is essentially right, but
right. It's,
right, but these but, sorts of factors could play in that.
Right, so I agree with Bob, but what Rachel is saying, now we're put in a place where they can put their finger on that this is what we have to do to get that to 65%, which makes a whole lot of sense, because if pure and simply at this point in time, it's just an arbitrary decision of the board.
Right.
I think this is something that we have to do at the conditional use hearing, because if they challenge it, as if we write an ordinance and they challenge it, it's done.
I've actually put it in developers' agreements.
That'd be the
place
to do it.
In fact, I actually had the applicant's attorney.
Right, but the community do a donation agreement could be the reason for the addition of the coverage. That's where Rachel's.
Oh, I understand that.
And that makes sense.
And that's why fire company involvement was essential in this other case, because the fire company immediately recognized that they weren't going to be able to. Well, adequately fight a fire with the equipment they had. They needed small utility type of equipment.
Big development, as a rule, does not make money for the local municipality. It makes the local municipality spend money. This is a way for them not to have to spend the money, whether it's fire department or police protection or whatever other amenities. I don't know if
that's as simple as adding a sentence to that section that says that one of the factors that the Board of Supervisors shall consider in determining whether to increase it is the applicant's willingness to enter into an adequate community benefits agreement. I mean, is that the kind of language that we could include there that would be...
We could include that. I think there is some language in there regarding stormwater already.
Yeah, there is.
And then define what a community agreement could be in your definition section. You know, to improve now, to improve parks construction.
Right. Do you have access to Rachel to the presentation?
Ms. Sarcinelli, is this making sense?
Yeah, I think the Center for Rural Pennsylvania put it right on their website.
Good, okay.
Kevin asked you if this conversation is making any sense to you, Nancy.
I mean, I think it does. Basically, what you're doing is offering them an incentive. So you're using the building coverage and the opportunity to get an increase up to 65% as an incentive to do something else for the township in the form of a community benefits agreement. I mean, it makes sense in a way. I don't know that you would have to tie the community benefits agreement to the lot coverage. I mean, if they say, no, we don't, we're fine with a lower lot coverage, then you don't get a community benefits agreement.
But then they're only doing 25% of the lot.
Right.
So you've got big buffers, effectively, more than likely.
Right.
But I think,
well,
you know,
this could be put in more than one place, but the incentive for the increase in the lot coverage makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other factor that should be considered in determining whether or not to increase the lot coverage could be, you know, the buffer from sensitive receptors, the buffer that they're leaving for sensitive receptors, because I think you've got to have a balance between, okay, we're going to go to 65% and let you, Mr. Developer, maximize the amount of your property that you're covering. And at the same time, we're trying to be sensitive to the neighbors that don't want to have this in their backyard and are, you know, would like to see a bigger buffer. I think if we specifically spell it out there that the supervisor should consider that factor in determining whether or not to go to 65% coverage or how far close to 65% they get, it might give us a little bit stronger of an ability to not go to 65 in the case where it's, you know, it's going to be kind of misery producing for the neighborhood. Just a thought. I mean,
has there been a time that an applicant has come to Melbourne Township and asked for an increase in the lot coverage? Has there been one time that it's been denied?
No.
And we haven't really had any criteria to give it to
adequate stormwater. Well, the stormwater controls, and
that goes along with the development anyway. So,
but that's the basis of the ordinance.
So there
is no other basis in the ordinance for denying.
Right. That's my point. This is, and Rachel's making that very evident.
If it's a 5-acre lot,
if you want larger setbacks for residential, I don't think you have to give them more lot coverage in order to get that, or for sensitive receptors. There are plenty of municipalities that have written into their ordinances that, you know, it's X feet of setback for any, you know, property line, and it's double that for a sensitive receptor. And if you want a community benefits agreement and you want to, and you think you can defend that legally, then I think you can just require a community benefits agreement without having to give them extra lot coverage. I mean, it kind of depends on how strongly you want to word this. But you can say, you know, 200 feet, or, you know, a lot of the model ordinances are 200 to 250 feet from a sensitive receptor. Some communities are going even greater than that distance for sensitive receptors.
Isn't it going to cover the whole 5-acre lot if we have that much setbacks.
Well, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. you have to make sure that, and I think you're probably okay. I mean, if your setbacks are too large, then you might knock out a lot of properties. They won't be able to accommodate those setbacks. Like, so you want to make sure that if you put in greater setbacks, you have to make sure that some properties in the district can accommodate those setbacks. Otherwise, it's exclusionary.
And you know what? If the neighboring property is all woods, that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, the supervisor should have the ability to look at what's next door now and be able to say, if there's nothing next door and nobody's going to be bothered by it, fine. But if there's a house next door, a whole neighborhood of houses, or, you know, a preschool, and you want to give them a greater distance, I think we should have the strength to do that. And make sure that we have a basis for it, because if we don't have a basis for it, we're going to get overturned in court. You know, they're going to say that it's arbitrary, that there's no basis in the ordinance, that it's never been denied in the past when it was requested. All those things are things that they would, you know, bring up and stop us from. Does that make sense? Am I?
Yes.
Nancy's point is that the community improvement agreement should be applied to all of them. Is that what I'm hearing Nancy say?
My understanding is that there is a question as to whether or not municipalities can legally require a community benefits agreement. Now, if you make the decision that you understand that and you want to go ahead with a community benefits agreement, then you can write that into the ordinance and require it without giving the applicant, the data center applicant, an increase in their lot coverage. I mean, you can go either way. You can say, we require a community benefits agreement, and that's it. Or you can say, if you want 65% lot coverage, then we want a community benefits agreement.
Why can't you say both? Why can't you say you have to do it, and in the case that you want an increase,
then you have to give us more?
Equipment for the fire department that they need in order to fight fires there. You know, the job training, so that the jobs that are producing, if you're supposed to be putting this in here because it's supposed to be benefiting the community, then demonstrate that you're actually going to benefit the community.
What have you just put in there? If you're going to expand beyond the 25% and looking for more coverage, that there would be a benefit to the community to that would in some wards like that. Not saying they have to, hope there'd be a benefit to the community.
In all those instances, there has to be a justification for it. So if the fire company says, we can't fight a fire at this warehouse, and that's my big thing right now. All I've seen the past month on TV are these warehouse fires that just go on and on and on.
Well, okay. That brings me to one last comment that I had on this, which is requiring them to have a digital muster system, which now that I've seen one in action is what we probably should have required at Econopac. Mm-hmm. So that you actually can, the fire department can track and know in the case of a fire, the company will know who's where. Are there people in different sections of the building? Have they exited the building because their badge scanned out of that area and they're accounted for in the specific muster location that they're required to be in, as opposed to you have no idea where people are or if they're still inside the building and we've got our volunteers in there risking their lives for no reason for somebody who left the property
10 minutes ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And half of them over there don't speak English.
That's a problem.
Well, these...
But we're getting... To a little respect, we're getting in the weeds from where we where we started the conversation.
And that could be a condition, too, with a conditional use.
Right, I understand that, but my question still to Tony to begin with was, is if you put a requirement in the ordinance and the applicant doesn't call it out, then they're bound by it.
Provided they've agreed to it, whether on the record or in writing.
And
they can always challenge.
I think they're going to call it out.
They can always challenge the constitutionality of the ordinance.
Absolutely, right. The process is they need to do that in the beginning of the process.
No, not necessarily.
They can do that after they have approval.
Yes.
Lawyer must have wrote that rule.
and that's why in the instances where I've done them right in the developer's agreement and had them state on the record that they've agreed to do this at the conditional use hearing. Otherwise, in my mind, I don't really have any authority to do it.
And that's why I would tie it to the discretionary ability to increase the lot coverage, because mm-hmm. this is something they want. You have the discretion whether or not to provide it.
And you know they're going to ask for that. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to put it. I agree with that.
So they don't have to give it, and neither do you. So they don't give it, fine. And then you give less of an increase, perhaps.
Small lots cannot have 65% with 100% setback. Like if it is 5 acres, and if you do 100-foot setback, then AI says you have 32% left. 32% of the acreage left. So 65% cannot be done with 5-acre lots. That's what I got from AI.
Based on what conditions on the property, or based just on the size
just
of
on the size.
On the size, if it's a 5-acre lot, and if you're trying to do 100-foot setback on all sides,
it's 100-foot square.
Then you are left with 32%.
The reason for that is why it says up to 65%.
Yeah.
If the property doesn't allow it,
it doesn't allow it.
It doesn't allow it.
Right.
So I don't. We're. Mm-hmm. But the community benefit agreement makes that would solve a lot of problems that we've been looking for resolve to. We've always asked, how do we get the applicant to be part of the community?
Correct.
We've always asked, how do we get the applicant to be part of the community? And you can ask them, and you can see, and they give you the Cheshire Cat look, and that's as far as it goes. With this kind of an incentive, it's going to cost them less money to go along with it than it is to take us to court over it, would be my opinion.
That depends on what you're asking for, in your agreement. But if you're being reasonable.
How much money they have and all that. But I believe in, let's play our cards.
Well, and again, as long as what you're asking for in the community benefit agreement are legitimate items that make sense, if the entity is coming into you saying, this is going to benefit your community greatly because it's going to produce all these jobs, and you're saying, okay, we want to make sure that those jobs go to local people. How are you going to make sure that local people are trained to actually hold these jobs and are going to be provided these jobs? So apprenticeship programs that they're investing in, building in programs, bringing in providers to do that training, those kinds of things. So the fire department, it's basic 101. If they can't fight a fire, they can't handle the kind of fire based on whatever you've got there. You've got, battery backup systems that are, something that are outside of their typical standard equipment needs, or a height that's past where they can handle, asking them to provide that would just make sense, I think, and be defensible. As Nancy's saying, you've got to be able to defend it.
Can Nancy or Tony, then give us a definition of a community benefit.
I'd like to see what the
Center for Rural Pennsylvania
is calling it.
The other interesting thing that I picked up from their program is that they're calling the cutoff for what they consider to be hyperscale data centers anything 10,000 square feet or larger. That's a really small number for, you know, for them to consider it hyperscale if it's beyond 10,000 square feet. I also didn't notice anywhere in here where we're specifically saying closed loop systems. And we've got a lot of water requirements in here, so I wasn't particularly concerned about it. I think we do talk about trying to minimize the water consumption, but I didn't see a specific requirement for closed loop system.
We did have something in there, closed loop.
Well, we had the that's why we used the 2,000 gallon threshold.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you just got there a different way.
We got there a different way.
Okay.
That's what it was.
I mean, that's why we came down to that, Connecticut, and usage of water small.
Yeah.
And there's six different ways they can cool these things. The smaller ones can actually be air cooled. They don't have to use water. So if they put one on a 5-acre piece of property, it might be able to be air-cooled rather than water-cooled.
A small Bitcoin mining operation that was in your neighborhood, what they're saying is, I guess, having to do with the hum and the electricity consumption, it's got to be like less than 10,000 square feet because how much density of computer equipment they can put in the facility. I have poured out a lot of comment on this today, and I don't know if you want to take some time to think about it.
I think we should take some time.
Well, we should see what the county has to say as well.
Yeah, McKenzie and I think we'll see what the county says, though.
Make a motion we table that for now to the next meeting.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Wayne had a question.
No, I'm just saying that back in the between 2010 and 2014, those years, I was over in the Pocono Record doing coverage at the time of the fracking, which was going on the outskirts of Wayne County and farther out. One of the things, I had covered a couple of the meetings, one of the things that they had talked about before they came in was job training. We need people. We're going to teach people how to do this. Once they came in, we had no exact figures, but they did not deny or disagree with my question to them that, did you hire local people like you said you would? And their answer at the time was something very close to the effect of, well, these are highly skilled jobs, and it would take a long, long time to train them, train people around here, and they're not equipped to learn under these training procedures.
And that's where
the community benefit agreement that
provides for apprenticeship programs and job training programs with your local community colleges to make sure that you are building a local pipeline. That's the way that you capitalize on the jobs. They had a speaker from Loudoun County on this program in Virginia, which is considered Data Center Alley. And, you know, one of the things that he said is people say that construction jobs don't count because they're temporary. He said, but we've built over 200 data centers in Loudoun County. It's 20 years that people have been working. They might be working on a different data center or a different building, but they keep working on, you know, in that field. So just because it's a construction job doesn't always mean that it's really short-term temporary, that a lot of these, it's built as a campus that expands. So it's the first 3 years that they're doing building one, and then the next 3 years they're doing building two. And, you know, that person might be, well into 20 years of work by the time they're finished building the whole campus out.
Mm. Under new business, alternate sewage enforcement officer.
That's done.
Excuse me for a second. Do you guys still need me on?
No, we don't.
I don't think so. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Go back to vacation.
Okay, appreciate it.
Back to vacation.
Thank you all.
Take care.
Yep, bye.
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 Yeah, I think we have taken care of it.
That's taken care of?
Yeah.
Engage in the alternate solicitor during the solicitor's vacation?
We actually don't have an alternate solicitor this year. We did not approve one. And we don't have any coverage for the Planning Commission July meeting and the first meeting in August for the Board of Supervisors. So I don't know if we want to consider that. Even if we canceled our meeting August 6th, which we have bids coming in that day.
Yeah, bids coming in that day.
That we could at least approve subject to attorney review. I don't know about the Planning Commission meeting, whether...
Do we get time for evaluation? Like I see a tab called evaluation in the pen bid.
Yes.
Does that give us time to decide?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can just look at them at night and decide. I'm looked at by the attorney.
Okay, so if you thought
us... I think the solicitor said something about this at the reorganization meeting.
So I think we had a conversation, and then we said we would revisit it later if need be, and...
Yeah, 6 months later.
That's why I asked to put it on the agenda. Just, you know, Kevin, how do you feel about having nobody for the July meeting? Do you have a sense of what you're going to have on your agenda?
We already canceled the workshop. Right?
Yep.
So,
The other applicant called and asked about the Planning Commission schedule. What's his name?
Who?
Ruzanski. Ruzanski
Jane.
Called.
Jane.
Called and asked about our schedule. I informed him about our schedule.
Does he have something for the end of the month?
No. Not yet.
Nothing has come in, but you told him that date is what you're saying.
Right.
In touch with him, see if he's got anything to bring in, because even we're not going to be making decisions at that meeting on it anyway. It's going to be his first time in. I know Ray's got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And that's for...
That was for that driving school.
That's for the driving school.
CDL driving school?
Yeah.
Well, quite frankly, his engineer representative is rather aggressive. And they're going to have Mr. Steve represent them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see them without our attorney.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I'm just talking about past history, and their engineer came on rather strong, inappropriately the other night, in my opinion.
Agreed.
So I would say if we don't have a solicitor, notify him that we've canceled the meeting.
He was coming on strong till I...
Huh?
He was coming on very strong until I mentioned certain things.
Well, I was. Weren't you proud of me? I didn't. I didn't react at all.
Not at all. You're very good.
I had it. Well,
regardless, cancel the meeting.
Gene was out of line.
I think that's appropriate. Don't you, Bob?
Yep.
Gene was playing lawyer and he shouldn't have been.
Are we okay if we cancel the meeting in terms of time frames? If we get something in?
I'm not aware of anything that's pending.
Pending, right. So if we get something pending tomorrow and the Planning Commission doesn't meet in July, where are we?
Well, if we get that kind of an instance, how long are you on vacation?
I'm going to be back on the 6th, I believe.
Well, then we can advertise our workshop meeting for a regular meeting if we really got...
Yep.
Then we, you know...
And your meeting is scheduled for when, the 23rd?
The calendar's in front of you.
Isn't it 28?
28, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I will not be here.
July 28th?
Yeah.
I won't be here.
There you go.
Well,
I'm away from the 28th to the 2nd.
All right. So I would.
Well, maybe you won't have a quorum.
I would just notify him that we're due to the lack of attorney and the possibility of no quorum, we won't have that meeting.
I think that's a good idea.
And if they want to make the, if they want to give us an application just to press the issue, we'll have a special meeting.
Yep. That's fine.
I honestly, didn't feel a sense of urgency that they were creating.
Understood.
I've already said too much, sorry.
That's fine, so I'll make a motion that we cancel the Planning Commission's July meeting due to the.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Availability.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, so passed.
Sean, please make sure that all the Planning Commission members are notified. Thank you.
Got the workshop and the.
The workshop, both.
Both meetings are canceled.
Both meetings.
Both meetings, we canceled the workshop at our last meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is there a supervisor's meeting, is this strictly Planning Commission you're talking about?
Planning Commission.
Just Planning Commission.
So the supervisors will still be meeting at their regular schedule.
Okay.
Okay, next on the agenda, I'd like to make a motion that we'd like a lot of Pike Autism Support Services to have their 5K run on October 11th.
I'll make a motion to do so.
Under the usual conditions?
Under the usual conditions. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Next on the Planning Commission recommendation.
On 407, I would like more time to review, given the confusion over the various revision additions.
Make that as a motion?
Make a motion that we table.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Last one.
When we get a specific finished ordinance, please pass it to everybody.
Thank you.
Moving on, I make a motion that we allow the Delaware Valley High School cheerleaders to have a car wash here on August 8th.
Under the usual conditions?
Under the usual conditions.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, so passed. Any other public participation?
The autism 5K walk, that's October 11th, you said?
Yes.
New business sheet, October 11th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And you need certificate of insurance, right, from them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have two other questions. I didn't get, the alternate storage enforcement officer, what's happening at that one?
Nothing's already taken care of, everything's been taken care of.
Okay, and last question, on the old business, the hydrant free implementation, what was approved on that?
Nothing.
We tabled it.
We tabled it.
We took it off the agenda.
We took it off the agenda.
Because we're not getting any answers from the.
We don't get any answers from them.
Okay.
If there's nothing else, I'll make a motion, we adjourn the meeting.
I'll make a motion, we pay the bills and adjourn the meeting.
Pay the bills and adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Thank you, everybody.
If you have an opportunity, please go over to the airport, park and look.
Yeah, thanks for the.